Now connecting this transmission to a relay station for the truth.
Things went wrong today. Bad news came my way. I woke up to find that what I had in my mind.
Censored, suspended, shadow banned, but never shut down. This is the Rockstone Report.
Western Union.
Joining me on this episode of Rockstone Report Live. I'm your host, Mike Rockstone, and today we'll be reading from my latest article titled Countdown to Extinction, published over there at mrockstone.substack.com, the only place where you can opt in to get an email. Every time I publish something, all are gone, all but one. Judging by the state of just about everything these days, I'd say it's probably some sound advice to start battening down the hatches on the good ship homestead. There's every indication that one bad mamma jamma of a black cloud is brewing on the horizon. And as far as I can tell, there's no way for us to avoid the downpour of bad news coming. They've orchestrated the perfect storm to hit us from all sides at once. And when I say us, I'm talking about what they used to call the free world. This storm is not on course to make any waves in China, Russia, or Iran, for instance. But if you're unlucky enough to live in Europe, the Americas, Australia, New Zealand, the UK, or anywhere in the Commonwealth, then we're in the same boat, my friend, and our ship has been squarely targeted by the billionaires and bankers in Geneva for complete and utter destruction. Of course, the potential for untold loss of human life due to starvation and freezing as a result of their manufactured resource scarcity is a small price to pay for saving the planet and preventing climate change. Never mind that the one nation on Earth responsible for the most pollution by far is moving full steam ahead and completely unfettered by the UN Agenda 2030 policies of austerity that all of us in the free world are literally choking to death on. Maybe it's not really about the environment after all. Is trading our privacy and accepting constant under-the-skin surveillance forever in exchange for the promise of much better healthcare really going to be worth it? Are the billionaire clients of Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell really planning to live as immortal virtual gods while they genetically modify the rest of humanity to be their own subhuman slave class? Is it possible that there is no possibility at all, even in a million years, that CO2 emissions resulting from the industry of humankind could ever conceivably be seriously considered as a causal agent for climate change on planet Earth? We'll answer these questions and more in this episode of Rockstone Report Live. But first, the headlines. top stories for the second week of September 2022. Queen Elizabeth still dead, news networks continue to report. U.S. banks lost a record $370 billion in deposits last quarter. Greenpeace founder Patrick Moore says climate change based on false narratives? Congress may force election deniers to get a lot more creative. Iconic French New Wave director Jean-Luc Godard, dead at 91. And of course, as always, you'll find the links to every one of these stories behind the headlines in the show notes and links section on my Substack page. From the MSN News Desk, Queen Elizabeth II is still dead. Multiple U.S. news outlets continue to confirm on Monday. The 96-year-old British monarch died on Thursday, ending a 70-year reign. Her death has triggered an unrelenting deluge of media coverage about her and the royal family. Not only in the United Kingdom, but in the United States, which famously said no to the monarchy. To get some more information on the passing of the Queen, we now turn to RSTV veteran correspondent, the iconic David Icke. And following David from the badass Uncle Sam channel on band.video, the erudite deacon takes us back to the early days of the American Union and follows our history with the banks of the British Crown. And now, here is that RSTV special report on the passing of the Queen.
Let the joyous news be spread. The wicked old witch at last is dead.
It was officially announced that the Queen had died at the age of 96. The nation is in mourning for the Queen. I am not in mourning, and I won't be joining this grotesque exaltation of Queen Elizabeth II and her royal family. It always seemed to me to be a nonsense that a single interbreeding family should have the right, unchallenged, to be head of state, not only in this country, but in Canada, in Australia, in New Zealand, and the Commonwealth. It seemed insane to me that the head of state was being chosen by who had sex with who in what bloody order. People were told to fear a deadly COVID virus. Yes, sir. No, sir. Thank you, sir. I'll do that, sir. They were told to take a fake vaccine, which has taken out untold numbers of people and destroyed the health of more. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Anything you say, sir. They were told to believe in climate change. Yes, sir. In the manufactured conflict in Ukraine. Yes, sir. And now, the latest thing, we're being told to worship the Queen as some sort of goddess. And I will not be pledging allegiance to the Queen's successor. Is he calling himself Charles III? Charlie Boy? A man who has no idea how everyone else in the country lives, given his privileged lifestyle, funded by the very people that royalty is a symbol of oppressing. And so Her Majesty now becomes His Majesty, and the game goes on.
Make no mistake, folks, the British Empire never gave up on the British Empire. In 1814, we took a little even before the Revolution, folks, they established the Bank of North America in Philadelphia. And do you know that the first piece of legislation that the New York bankers insisted that new President George Washington, the first president of the United States of America, sign was the Federal Banking Act of 1790? Which gave the Rothschilds, folks, a 20-year charter on the banking of the United States of America. And do you know when that charter ended in 1810? The U.S. Congress realized, why are we involved with the Rothschilds? The Constitution says that we, the Congress, should be issuing currency in specie, meaning in gold and silver. And they decided they were not going to renew the charter. Not a year later, folks, in 1812, we found ourselves in a second war once again against the rapacious British crown. In 1814, of the Battle of New Orleans, to the Gulf of Mexico. Well, 1,200 Kentucky squirrel hunters with their rifled Kentucky long rifles and a similar number of Caribbean pirates who operated in the Caribbean and on the high seas in unflagged vessels, preying upon shipping. They literally got together and at the Battle of New Orleans at Chalmette Field took on the British and decimated them with their accurate fire. All of the central banks, which together form a cartel, are all offshoots of banking interests that were consolidated by the Rothschilds. And those banking institutes in 1913 passed a nefarious piece of legislation called the Federal Reserve Act, which is neither federal nor reserve. And at the Battle of New Orleans, 1,200 Kentucky squirrel hunters with their rifled Kentucky long rifles took on the British and decimated them with their accurate fire.
The Wall Street Journal reporting. U.S. banks lost a record $370 billion in deposits last quarter. The outflows will fuel a debate about how the Fed's inflation-calming moves are going to play out in the banking system. Deposits at U.S. banks fell by a record $370 billion in the second quarter, the first decline since 2018. Deposits fell to $19.5 trillion as of June 30, down from $19.9 trillion in March, according to the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. When the Fed started increasing its benchmark rate this year, banks expected and wanted some customers to move their money to places offering higher interest payments, such as government bonds. As recently as April, many analysts scoffed at the idea bank deposits could decline this year. But the Fed's pace of rate increases has been faster than expected, and the effect on deposits is more pronounced. Stimulus programs during the pandemic nearly tripled the amount of reserves commercial banks hold at the Fed. The Fed wants to reduce those reserves as part of its effort to take money out of the system, but only to an unknown floor that will keep markets liquid and functioning. Some analysts expect the decline in customer deposits to spur banks to hold fewer reserves at the Fed. How fast that happens will carry implications for the Fed, including when it stops tightening and the ultimate size of its balance sheet. Many analysts thought money would drain out of the reserve repo facility first, but so far the opposite has happened, and deposits declined, which could reduce bank reserves at the Fed faster than expected. That could prompt the Fed to stop tightening early next year, some economists have said. Well, we all know how illegitimate the entire operation is, so... What? Humans are free. Reports. Greenpeace founder Patrick Moore says climate change based on false narratives. A series of email exchanges between Greenpeace founder Patrick Moore and South Korean professor Seok-Soon Park shows him saying that climate change is based on false narratives and that it has become more of a political movement than an environmental movement. One of Greenpeace's founding members, Patrick Moore, said in an email why he had quit the organization.
Greenpeace was hijacked by the political left when they realized there was money and power in the environmental movement. Left-leaning political activists in North America and Europe changed Greenpeace from a science-based organization to a political fundraising organization.
Moore said, 15 years after he co-founded Greenpeace, Moore left the organization in 1986.
Well, the environmental movement has become more of a political movement than an environmental movement,
he said.
They're primarily focused on creating narratives, stories. They're designed to instill fear and guilt into the public, so the public will send them money.
He claimed that they typically carry out their political operations behind closed doors with operatives at the
United Nations,
the
World Economic Forum,
and other organizations of a
similar kind.
He asserted that the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC, is
not a science organization.
The World Meteorological Entity and the United Nations Environment Program make up this political organization.
The IPCC hires scientists to provide them with information that supports the climate emergency narrative. Their campaigns against fossil fuels, nuclear energy, CO2, plastics, etc. are misguided and designed to, like, make people think the world will come to an end unless we cripple our civilization and destroy our economy. They are now a negative influence on the future of both the environment and human civilization. Today, the left has adopted many policies that would be very destructive to civilization, is they are not technically achievable. Only look at the looming energy crisis in Europe and the UK, which Putin's taking advantage of, but it's of their own making in refusing to develop their own natural gas resources, opposing nuclear energy, and adopting an impossible position on fossil fuels in general.
Moore wrote, "The left hijacked Greenpeace. The organization's basic values, according to him, were green for the environment and peace for the people. But peace had largely been forgotten, and green had taken precedence."
Many so-called environmental leaders are now saying that humans are the enemies of the earth, the enemies of nature. I could not accept that humans are the only evil species. This is too much like original sin. that humans are born with evil, but all the other species are good, even cockroaches, mosquitoes, and diseases.
Moore argued, "The idea that there should be fewer people in the world is the current dominant philosophy," according to him.
"But the people who said this were not volunteering to be the first to go away. They behave as if they're superior to others. And this kind of pride and conceit is the worst of the cardinal sins,"
Moore said. The demonization of carbon dioxide.
"Very few people believe the world is not warming. The record is clear, and the world has been warming since about the year 1700. Like 150 years before, we were using fossil fuels. 1700 was the peak of the Little Ice Age, which was very cold, and it caused crop failures and starvation. Before that, around 1000 AD, was the medieval warm period, and when Vikings farmed in Greenland. And before that, around 500 AD, were the Dark Ages. And before that, the Roman warm period, when it was warmer than today, and in sea level was 1 or 2 meters higher than today.
Moore said,
"Even until about 1950, the amount of fossil fuel used and CO2 emitted was very small compared to like today. So we don't know the cause of these periodic fluctuations in temperature, but it's certainly not CO2.
Moore made it clear that the minority opinion is not about the temperature history of the Earth, rather, the relationship between the temperature and CO2 is the subject of dispute.
"In this regard, I agree that many believe CO2 is the main cause of warming. CO2 is invisible. So no one actually see what he's doing, and this majority are mainly scientists paid by politicians and right? Yeah, and bureaucrats, media making headlines, activists making money. Bruh. Rest are the public who believe this story even though they can't actually see what CO2 is doing. It's invisible."
Moore said. Moore presented a graph showing the temperature in central England during a period of 350 years, from 1659 to 2009. He said that
if carbon dioxide was the main cause of warming, then there should be a rise in temperature all along the carbon dioxide curve, but it doesn't.
In addition to stating that CO2 is the foundation of all life on Earth and that its concentration in the atmosphere is currently lower than it has been for a significant portion of life's history, Moore called the demonization of CO2
completely ridiculous.
That's from the founder of Greenpeace. This from Vox. Congress may force election deniers to get a lot more creative. How a few election law fixes could protect democracy in 2024. The human mind is ingenious. It can create towering works. All right, you know what? I hate when I do this, but I'm not going to read this story again. You know, the link is there. It's there, man. If you really care, it's there. From the news desk of the New York Post, Jean-Luc Godard, the ingenious enfant terrible of the French New Wave, who revolutionized popular cinema in 1960 with his debut feature, Breathless, and stood for years as one of the world's most vital and provocative directors, has died. He was 91. Well, let's hear from the director, Jean-Luc Godard, in a 1980 television interview with Dick Cavett.
Image and sound, they are just tools, and sometimes, I mean, as I say, even if it looks a paradox, you have to listen. You have to listen to the image and to look at the sound, if I may say so, and well, to use it more like in the music, mm-hmm. or in the painting. That's funny because in movies you ask to movies a certain amount of things which you never ask to poetry or to paintings or to music. I wonder why.
I don't know, but it has to do with something that a reaction people have to your films. They'll say, I liked it, but I didn't really enjoy it, or I knew I was seeing something good, but I didn't understand it.
But sometimes, I mean, to look at things, you have to go very far to be, well, to have the possibility of taking a look of it. If you go too close, like in advertising, I mean, you are so close to the products, you don't see anymore. That's why you have to name it, because you don't see nothing. So mm-hmm. you just name it. But if you, I mean, sometimes you have to go, even in a love affair, sometimes you have, well, to put some distance to discover the love again. Yeah, I remember a quote from CBS head saying, he was laughing because he said, people think we are producing programs. Well, only in second. First, we are producing viewers.
Mm-hmm. Producing viewers.
Producing, yeah, téléspectateurs.
La 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 la. La 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 la. Buenas noches, mi amor. S'il croit qu'il va me doubler celui-là, que ça frégate à la con. C'est joli la campagne. Ta vie. J'aime beaucoup la France. Si vous n'aimez pas la mer, si vous n'aimez pas la montagne, si vous n'aimez pas la ville, allez vous faire foutre.
Breathless.
Goodness gracious, Jerry Lee Lewis just came from out of nowhere like a great ball of fire. Well, I can't say no to the last man standing. And of course, as always, you'll find the links to every one of these stories behind the headlines in the show notes and links section on my Substack page for this episode. When we come back, countdown to extinction. All are gone, all but one. Stick around for a Rockstone Minute and I'll catch you on the other side. Hey, Mike Rockstone here. If you're a full-time hustler like me, looking for a little spoonful, and you're already doing business online, or you're just getting started selling your stuff on the web, You need graphic design. You need a website. You need web design. You need web hosting, web support. You've got to have digital ad campaigns. If you want to rock your brand, then rock with Mike. MikeRockstone.com/contact or give me a call, 707-559-0253. Hey, Mike Rockstone here. And I just wanted to share with you this podcast that I recently discovered. It's called
Fire Breathing Kittens.
I'm really enjoying it. And I think you might like it too. So check it out anywhere podcasts are found. And rock on.
Are you itching for a good story? Laughter among friends, maybe even a mystery or two? Well, you're in luck. Fire Breathing Kittens is a standalone Dungeons & Dragons podcast. Each episode is a separate 3-hour-long story, like a movie for your ears, so you can listen to these adventures in any order you like. So, join us on a real-play D&D quest as we solve mysteries, attempt comedic banter, and enjoy friendship. Fire Breathing Kittens podcast. Fantasy, action, mystery, friendship.
Censored! Suspended! Shadow banned, but never shut down! You're listening to The Rockstone Report!
Everything is being digitalized. Everything is being monitored. In this time of crisis, you have to follow science. It's often said that you should never allow a good crisis to go to waste, because a crisis is an opportunity to also do good reforms that in normal times people will never agree to. But in a crisis, you see we have no chance.
You see we have no chance.
We have no chance.
We have no chance.
We have no chance.
People could look back in 100 years and identify the coronavirus epidemic as the moment when a new regime of surveillance took over, especially surveillance under the skin, to collect biometric data, analyze it, and understand people better than they understand themselves. This, I believe, is maybe the most important event of the 21st century.
So does the data about my DNA, my brain, my body, my life, does it belong to me or to some corporation or to the government or perhaps to the human collective?
My brain, my body, my life.
Neither the Gestapo nor the KGB could do it. But soon, some corporations and governments will be able to systematically hack all the people. Humans should get used to the idea that we are no longer mysterious souls. We are now hackable animals. You know, the whole idea that humans have, you know, they have this soul or spirit and they have free will and nobody knows what's happening inside me. So whatever I choose, whether in the election or whether in the supermarket, this is my free will, that's over. Free will, that's over.
That's over.
There is a kind of alien presence on Earth. A new alien intelligence has invaded our life because it can make decisions on its own. It can analyze us. It can hack us. So after 4 billion years of organic life shaped by natural selection, we are entering the era of inorganic life shaped by intelligent design. Science is not really about truth, it's about power. It's about power. Science is not really about truth, it's about power.
It's about power.
So courageous.
Science is replacing evolution by natural selection with evolution by intelligent design. Not the intelligent design of some god above the clouds, but our intelligent design and the intelligent design of our clouds
the IBM cloud, the Microsoft cloud, these are the new driving forces of evolution.
When brains and computers can interact directly, like for example, to take just one example, that's it. That's the end of history, that's the end of biology as we know it. Nobody has a clue what will happen once you solve that direct brain-computer interface.
By hacking organisms, elites may gain the power to re-engineer the future of life itself. Because once you can hack something, you can usually also engineer it.
What will happen when artificial intelligence will replace most humans?
The product this time will be humans themselves. We are basically learning to produce bodies and minds. Bodies and minds are going to be the two main products of the next wave. Once you know how to produce bodies and brains and minds, so cheap labor in Africa or South Asia or wherever, it simply comes for nothing.
1 hour from now, another species of life form will disappear off the face of the planet. Forever. And the rate is accelerating.
The biggest question will be what to do with all these useless people. All these useless people. What to do with all these useless people. Useless people. The problem is what to do with them and how will they find some sense of meaning in life when they are basically meaningless, worthless. I think once you're superfluous, you don't have power. We are used to thinking about the masses as powerful. I don't think that the masses, even if they somehow organize themselves, stand much of a chance. And this time, if you're not part of the revolution fast enough, then you probably become extinct.
Thanks for sticking around for the second half of Rockstone Report Live. I'm your host, Mike Rockstone. And what we heard there was the voice of Dr. Yuval Noah Harari, prophet of the Great Reset from the World Economic Forum. Israeli professor at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem, and historian of tomorrow, sharing with you just a little taste of his vision of your future, where you will be worthless, meaningless, useless, and hackable. A future where this idea that you have a soul and free will, it's over. In his vision of the future, we'll look back and say, the COVID-19 vaccines was the moment when we ushered in a new regime of surveillance, under the skin surveillance, and a merging of humankind with artificial intelligence. Unlike other industrial revolutions of the past, he says that people will be the product of the fourth industrial revolution. And he leaves us with the warning that if you're not on board with that, well, you'll probably go extinct. With the guttural, gravelly grit of Dave Mustaine and the crew from Megadeth on Overdrive, counting us all down. With a countdown to extinction. And that's the title of the article we'll be reading from today, published at mrockstone.substack.com. The only place where you can opt in to get an email every time I publish something. All are gone. All but one. Now, it's not that there haven't been a few hiccups or bumps in the road, so to speak. Indeed, at times in the past, the agenda of the New World Order has even suffered what you might call setbacks. However, we no longer have the luxury of living in the past. We are now living in the present past of the future of the human race. Does that sound like just a bunch of Orwellian doublespeak to you? Well, of course it is. This is what has been taught to the young global leaders of the World Economic Forum since at least 2015, when Yuval Noah Harari published his great masterpiece, Homo Deus, A Brief History of Tomorrow. The vision put forth by Israeli Dr. Harari, a professor at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem, is of great comfort to those who would consider themselves among the power elite. If, on the other hand, you happen to be one of the billions of common red-blooded inhabitants of our planet, Dr. Harari's vision of your future is more like an eternal hell on Earth. Although, to be fair, according to him, it is not just dystopia, but also utopia, because you will have much better health care. Har, 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 har. Surveillance under the skin. The World Economic Forum's Prophet of the Great Reset has said that we will look back in a few years and remark that the COVID-19 vaccines ushered in a new era of surveillance. An era where we all agreed to be surveilled all the time. In the past, of course, no one would have agreed to constant under-the-skin surveillance because privacy was a big concern. Dr. Harari wagers that you'll be willing to make the trade-off of giving away your privacy for much better health care. Well, maybe it's just me, but I think of the COVID-19 vaccines as ushering in a new era where the medical establishment and healthcare providers, in collusion with pharmaceutical companies, betrayed our trust and weaponized medicine against us, and then further leveraged their power politically for increased control over the population. I don't remember surveillance under the skin being part of the deal either. Do you? So, from where I'm standing, I'd say that once your institutions for healthcare start coercively injecting everyone on the planet with experimental serums that have caused the rate of death to skyrocket worldwide, then any promise they make to offer much better healthcare ought to be taken as a joke. Let's say we fell for it, though. What do we have to give them first? Our privacy. We can have their promise of much better health care only if we accept some sort of surveillance under the skin that allows them to monitor everything about us every second for the rest of our lives. Cool story. And my barber tells me jokes. It's not about keeping you healthy, folks. If they cared about your health, they wouldn't be pushing pills and injections and all the while adding toxic fluoride to the water supply. In fact, it's pretty clear to me now that the real goal here is this under-the-skin surveillance business and taking complete control over the population. I mean, once you've agreed to have tracking and surveillance software installed under the skin, which must also then be connected to a network for constant monitoring, you've pretty much sold yourself to a technocratic slave master. Totally worth it, though, right? The days when you were allowed to believe that you were a sovereign being with a soul and no one knows what is happening inside you, so whatever you decide at the grocery store or in an election is your free will. That's over. Aside from ushering in a new era of surveillance under the skin, Dr. Harari also makes the claim that the COVID-19 vaccines solved the problem of direct brain-computer interface. Well, that would explain the nanorouters and other self-assembling nanotech that La Quinta Columna reported to have found in the C-19 vaccine injections years ago. So, based on what we now know about the whole COVID-19 pandemic hoax just being used as a way to justify emergency use authorization, EUA, for these experimental mutagenic serums that could have never been approved for use on humans by the standards of traditional protocol, and what Dr. Harari, World Economic Forum's prophet of the Great Reset, has said about the C-19 miracle injections ushering in a new era of surveillance under the skin, while at the same time solving the problem of direct brain-computer interface. I think it's a fairly rational conclusion to say the C-19 so-called vaccines have never been about people's health and safety at all. Instead, if future proves past, they were actually being used as a Trojan horse to install the operating system of the New World Order's AI hive mind biometrically linked social credit control grid. Kind of a drag.
The elite will be virtual gods.
I know, right? Who would ever believe that the world governments, the medical establishment, the pharmaceutical corporations, and the United World Nations Economic Health Forum organization could ever have anything but their most sincere concern for our health, happiness, and well-being at heart? First of all, if you're going to start questioning the motives of our beneficent technocratic overlords, I'm just going to have to assume that you're some dull-witted Alex Jones conspiracy theorist, so I can smugly dismiss anything you say without ever having to look into it myself. Still, should we choose to join in with the great Dr. Harari and his glorious vision for the future of life on Earth, we would see that by the year 2050, there exists a world where there are only two classes of people, the so-called elite and everybody else. Sure, it sounds a lot like the Übermensch and Untermensch society of the Nazi master race pan-German New Order, and I would argue that's because that is exactly what it is. But even though Hitler was the much-celebrated poster boy for this sort of eugenics-based technocratic authoritarian social engineering, he did not, in truth, invent the concept. In fact, Hitler probably had a thing or two to learn from the 1934 publication titled Technocracy Study Course from Technocracy Incorporated. Either way, that's such a 20th century way of approaching a 21st century issue. Now that they've installed the operating system in a few billion people under the guise of a C-19 miracle shot, all they have to do is get rid of cash. You know, that pesky US dollar. And introduce a new central bank digital currency, CBDC, which can be biometrically linked to every individual, then programmed, tracked, and traced. It's an authoritarian, technocratic wet dream. I owe my soul to the company store.
I owe my soul to the company store. If you see me coming, better step aside. A lot of men didn't, a lot of men died. One fist of iron, the other of steel. If the right one don't get you, then the left one will. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
So now perhaps you can understand why the globalist puppet string pullers in their posh offices in Davos and Geneva are orchestrating famine and resource scarcity in all of Europe, the Americas, and the Commonwealth. It's because they're planning on holding you hostage so that you'll accept their terms of slavery and, at the same time, praise them as your saviors. When they have made power so expensive that nobody on Earth can afford to use it,
problem.
You'll demand that your political leaders do something about it.
Reaction.
And they'll offer you a universal basic income.
Solution.
So you don't starve or freeze to death. Isn't that nice? Let's not forget about what we saw happen recently in Sri Lanka. Let's not forget the enraged Dutch farmers who buried government buildings in manure. And let's not forget rolling blackouts with record-high gas prices. These examples of collapse and disruption around the world can be directly linked to that particular nation's ESG score for accomplishing the UN's SDGs, Sustainable Development Goals, for Agenda 2030. In May 2022, the globalist corporate and government elites met for Catalyst 2030's Catalyzing Change Week to re-energize the SDGs of Agenda 2030 with a focus on amplify, accelerate action. Which is cool, right? I mean, who's going to prevent climate change if these entitled douchebags weren't flying their private jets around the world so they can meet in luxury and make the tough decisions about which part of the sector gets starved to death and which one is allowed to freeze? I swear to God, though, this CO2 emissions business must be some kind of Emperor's New Clothes test of perception, because based on Earth science, it is absolutely, utterly, and completely beyond ridiculous to the point of confounding absurdity for one to make the claim that CO2 emissions resulting from the burning of fossil fuels are a causal agent for climate change. There's no question climate change is real. Global warming is real. Global cooling is real. All you have to do is ask a woolly mammoth what happened to that last ice age. Nevertheless, the geologic record, which extends into the past for over 4 billion years, is punctuated by ages of extreme climate change. And yet, with all of these periods of climate change on record, there is not one single instance where you can say it was the result of human industry. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature. But the United Nations would like to have you convinced that you are a cancer on the Earth and the CO2 emissions from your exhale need to be taxed, or better yet, just reduced to zero. Who benefits? See, I've got to wonder where you are on this point and if you've thoroughly connected the dots on the level of evil we're dealing with here. For instance, consider, if there really were no global climate crisis, how could they possibly solve the problem with carbon caps and carbon taxes, UBI and CBDC? If we can all recognize that the global climate change crisis, which is being used to shut down our farmers and our pipelines, does not in fact exist, but instead amounts to no more than a classic boogeyman story, then the leverage they are using as a way to force us all into total subservience turns against them. Now, they are in a race against angst and just hoping that they can keep alternative media censored long enough that the unwashed masses of people won't awaken to the ruse before they've gotten the trapdoor closed. So Dr. Harari fantasizes about his near future, where the power elite billionaires, do you know who I'm talking about? Epstein and Maxwell's clients, become like virtual gods, immortal, directing the evolution of the human species, genetically modifying them to order, and producing them in industrial lab facilities, no doubt operated by AI robots. While that may sound far out to you, the douchebags in Davos are all pretty excited about it because that's the last step they need to take to accomplish the transhumanist goals of the Fourth Reich Industrial Revolution. The question for these technocratic authoritarian elitists in the 21st century is not, what do we need humans for? But, what do we need so many humans for? The last generation of humans. Throughout history, death has always been the great equalizer. No matter how rich or how poor a person is, everyone must go to meet their maker sometime. But imagine a world where the rich, in addition to everything else they get, now also have exemption from death. Again, you may think that's pretty far out there, but all the douchebags in Davos are pretty confident that they'll be able to keep farming clones and transferring their consciousness forever, once you can produce bodies and minds, and brains, by design on demand, then cheap labor in Asia or South Africa simply means nothing. The really cool part about this is that a regime can genetically modify the people it wants to produce. So certain characteristics like spirituality, intelligence, or art can be avoided altogether. It's the perfect setup for the power elite. They will live as virtual gods, while they rule over the subhuman genetically modified and mRNA-vaxxed biometrically neurolinked caste of AI hive mind worker drones. There's no reason we shouldn't believe Dr. Harari when he says the C-19 shots were a pivotal step in accomplishing this agenda. For all of his public speaking appearances, Dr. Harari has been very consistent in communicating his vision. His vision is that of the United Nations Agenda 2030 SDGs, the World Economic Forum, and the international banking cartels. He is celebrated and well-received in the circles of the upper echelon. They don't think what he's saying is crazy. They think it's overdue. How about you? And that's where the countdown to extinction article ends. But I'd love to know your thoughts and opinions on any of the topics that we covered in this episode. Let's keep the conversation going. You know, send me an email at mike@mikerockstone.com or post a comment or question on one of those social media posts I post everywhere. And let me know what you think. Because this one's in the can. I'm out of here. Hope to see y'all back here again next week. Until then,
rock on!